In his new book, A Generation of Sociopaths, author Bruce Cannon Gibney looks to show how America was hijacked by baby boomers, a generation he believes whose reckless self-indulgence degraded the foundations of American prosperity. A former partner in a leading venture capital firm, Gibney examines the policies of the most powerful generation in modern history, saying boomers enriched themselves at the expense of future generations. Gibney says acting without empathy, prudence, or respect for facts, acting in other words as sociopaths, the boomers turned American dynamism, there we go, into stagnation, inequality, and bipartisan fiasco. Gibney argues that younger generations have a window to hold the boomers accountable and begin restoring America. The name of the new book is A Generation of Sociopaths, How the Baby Boomers Betrayed America. Bruce Gibney is a writer and venture capitalist working as a hedge fund and as a partner of one of Silicon Valley's leading venture firms. Bruce Gibney, thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you here, sir.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What brought you down this path? Why did you want to take a look at this generation?
Well, originally my focus was not on generational issues. I started, both of my sort of finance jobs required me to think about the direction of the country and what would do well and what wouldn't. And in 2011, I thought that we weren't quite living the Star Trek future that I had been promised in reruns when I was a kid. And I wondered why, and I wondered if that was the fault of my industry at the time, venture capital. And in part it was. But the dynamics of sort of national sort of stagnation or deceleration transcend sort of the San Francisco Bay Area. They're more fundamental. And as I sort of widened my investigation, that led me to the baby boomers, especially the policies. I'm more concerned with the policy actions, which I think are sociopathic, than I am with individuals. I don't believe that all boomers are sociopaths. In fact, I think there are a great many terrific boomers. I mean, if the nation could be run by 75 million garrison keelers, so much the better. But
really? Go ahead.
Okay, maybe the NEA is run by him, but he's got about a 6 months left on that front before it's abolished. The policies, though, are sociopathic in the sense that they are antisocial, and someone had to vote for those policies. And those the most powerful demographic voting wise since the 1980s has been the baby boomers. And if you trace the flow of funds, right, that have been harvested by these policies, they generally flow back to the boomers. Now, most of them flow to the richest boomers. That's just the way that these sorts of things work. But they also flow to middle class boomers. And I think as long as there were going to be any flows to the plurality, the plurality was willing to elect politicians who ultimately deserved the United States. And I think in some ways have significantly deserved the boomers themselves. And we can see this in a variety of things, everything from the national debt, which was 30% of GDP on a gross basis when I was born in the 70s, and now is at 105%, to the decay of infrastructure, to the instability of Social Security of the long term. And, I bring up Social Security not because I want to get rid of it, but because I want it to continue. And in order for it to continue, we're going to have a serious discussion, which we have not had since 1983, since the boomers started taking things over, about how to appropriately fund it and what level of benefits to dole out. And presently, the trust fund is expected to expire in 2034, at which point the fund will not be bankrupt, but it will be partially insolvent. And there are a variety of these sorts of long-term things that have been ignored: research and development, free public higher education, infrastructure, climate, even the enormous population of aging prisoners who were incarcerated under Bush 1, Clinton, and Bush 2. We have to cope with all these challenges, but most of these challenges are expected to arrive in the mid to late 2030s. And for the boomers, for the median boomer, that will be postmortem. So they haven't really cared about that. They focus more on preserving the entitlement system as is, even though if it's going to work for everyone, it needs to be reformed now. And the more sort of younger people realize that the present course is unsustainable, and the more dramatic the choices they're forced to make, and those choices will become dramatic in 10 years if we don't do anything, the less likely it is they're going to tolerate paying for it. So I think it's an in every generation's enlightened self-interest to address these problems seriously now, so that the sacrifices are bearable, and not to have some sort of intergenerational war in 10 or 15 years. So, you know, sort of, there's the sort of soft left version of things, which is what I advance, you know, somewhat higher taxes, somewhat less generous benefits, and establishing a course of sort of fiscal stability and reinvestment in the United States, including in education and infrastructure. Or there's the other representative from my generation, Paul Ryan, who has distinctly different plans for older people.
Yeah. Let us talk, I want to get into some of the specific plans here, but let us talk about the word that really jumps out at me in the subtitle, which is betrayed. Let's talk about the betrayal. Because, I mean, that means that it was sort of conscious, right? That you were going to say one thing and do another.
That's right. So in the 1970s, when boomers were forming a substantial part of the electorate, debt was a serious issue, even though it was only 35% of GDP. Constitutional amendments were proposed and actually got very far along to address this sort of catastrophic level of debt, which is, you know, about a third of where we are now. And those discussions died in the 1980s and were never resurrected. Social Security was reformed in 1983. By the 1990s, it became clear that it needed to be reformed again. The trustees of the Social Security Trust Fund and of the Medicare Trust Fund began projecting that the funds would be exhausted in the 2030s. And that was a serious discussion. And people probably remember Al Gore harping about the Social Security lockbox. But even though this was a sort of known problem, it was a problem that was expected to be post-mortem. And so it was not seriously addressed. It's only gotten worse since. Climate, we've known, has been a problem since the 1980s. That has not been addressed. Education, which was previously free in the 1960s when the boomers were in school, public higher education, has become sort of dauntingly expensive. That has not been addressed. So infrastructure, I mean, you can simply, you know, climate is hard to see, right? But infrastructure, you can just drive over a road and you can see the potholes. That hasn't been addressed. Dams are, you know, near bursting. That hasn't been addressed. So in all these senses, there has been some kind of betrayal, or at least a near catastrophic lack of foresight and prudence.
So we have recently, in this last election cycle, heard about infrastructure, and meanwhile, all of the other stuff that you've been talking about when it comes to healthcare and of course, the climate, it seems to be dismissed, and we're looking at the departments that handle those issues pretty much being dismantled and severely, severely cut. So what does that tell us about the end game as the baby boomers, sadly, are starting to leave us?
So I think one of the striking things about 2016 is, first, that the conditions for 2016 were created by the boomers. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had a contest that was, frankly, bizarre, right? So Hillary Clinton had already been rejected by the electorate in 2008. She was one of the most unpopular candidates, although by far the better of the candidates. And Donald Trump was just different. But there was only one thing that these people could agree on, these two people, and that was commitment to retirement benefits, that, you know, they were sort of like a sacred bond and they would be untouched. And because entitlements consume, or retirement benefits, I realize entitlements is a loaded word, even though Social Security sometimes itself uses that. Because they consume such a large fraction of the budget and will consume an even larger fraction in 15 years, if they remain as they are, we will have no money left over, especially because the current proposal is to reduce taxes, not to raise them, and I'm actually for raising taxes. We'll have no money left over to address issues like climate, issues like infrastructure, issues like public higher education and resolving the giant prison population. And that will be problematic.
So problematic, I mean, it could be catastrophic too, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, not too terrifying, but yes, it could be potentially catastrophic. So there are some borderline existential issues that we face. So the sooner we address them, and all of these are within America's capability to address, but the sooner that we address them, the easier it will be. By 2040, it will be too late to avoid some moderate version of climate change. Even today, it's going to be exceedingly difficult to hit the targets, but at least we can try and get fairly close. But the sort of solution at 2 a.m. at the bar is to have one more shot rather than go home and sober up. Yeah. And I think the sooner we go home and sober up, the better it's going to be.
So when you look at this generation, what do we know about their, I guess, how they look at what they have done? And I mean, how would an average baby boomer reading this book feel that defend themselves and looking at this and say, oh, okay, I understand what you're saying here?
So the reaction I've gotten from boomers has been pretty bifurcated. You know, one set of boomers, for obvious reasons, just hates and won't engage with the data or the thesis at all. And the thesis, that's fine. If you don't want to engage with it, that's absolutely everyone's prerogative. The data are difficult to argue with. The other half of the boomers do see that something has gone wrong, but they legitimately point out that things are actually better now than they were, you know, 40 years ago. And that's true. In an absolute sense, things are better than they were 40 years ago, and boomers can take some credit for that. But my argument is not about absolute levels. It's about pace of change. So, you know, there's this idea that the boomers are incredibly progressive. And while it's certainly better to be a minority today than it was in, say, 1960, which is close to 60 years ago, the pace of change has not has come down. So there's been a significant deceleration. So we've seen nothing like Brown versus Board of Education in 1954 ordering integration, or Truman's integration of the Army before that. We've seen nothing like the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. In fact, the Voting Rights Act is in the process of being dismantled. The pay of women, and yesterday was International Women's Day, has more or less ceased converging on the pay of men. So there isn't gender parity in pay. And in the 1970s, the Equal Rights Amendment actually had Republican champions in the White House. So this sort of pace of progressive change, which is probably, you know, an agenda that most NPR listeners are fairly comfortable with, has decelerated in the same way that economic growth has decelerated. So it's not the case that the United States is less rich than it was in 1985 or 1975. It's the case that we are not getting richer faster and more equally. So, yes, there have certainly been victories, and there's certainly, you know, a large number of good boomers, but we're not living up to our potential. And because there are these existential issues creeping up on us, it's really important that we do, because when faced with sort of borderline catastrophic outcomes on the fiscal side, on the environmental side, on the educational side, in the 2030s, younger generations may choose to pursue fairly radical responses to fairly radical problems. Right now, the problems are significant but tractable, and making an ask now for somewhat higher taxes and somewhat lower consumption is going to be much easier than making an ask in 2034 for vastly higher taxes to keep Social Security fully solvent, or for a radical curtailment in consumption, like on the order of 40% or more, in order to keep the environment in decent shape.
My apologies to both Bruce and to the listener. The name of the book is A Generation of Sociopaths, How the Baby Boomers Betrayed America. The book is published by Hachette. You're listening to The Roundtable, WAMC.